Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
KMOX News Time is 8:22, and joining us live on Total Information AM is CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn. And Leonard, to start off this morning, we've got the only president who's been impeached twice, and now these charges move on to the Senate, but it's not looking like the Senate's going to take them up before the president's term really comes to an end, maybe the day before, but they're not going to come back early, it doesn't seem. So what do you think the chances are in the Senate?
Well, again, that's unclear because a lot depends on Mitch McConnell, what he thinks. He's already said that he's willing to be able to listen to the evidence and draw his judgment from there. He hasn't opposed conviction. That's a big deal because it says to a lot of other senators, hey, I'm going to give you cover. You don't have to go and support the president on this. If you think he crossed the line and should be convicted, then I will have your back, because Mitch McConnell believes that Donald Trump ultimately is a drag on the Republican Party, even though he recognizes the incredible appeal that Donald Trump has among many Republicans. So all eyes will be on Mitch McConnell as this moves ahead.
What happens after January 20th? Because there is still talk of possibly taking this up once the Senate changes hands, and then it's a 50-50 split. So what would that look like? Have we ever seen anything like that before?
Well, again, it would be a trial that would be presided over by the Chief Justice, the same way impeachment was a year ago. So Chuck Schumer, who would be the Senate majority leader at this point, would have more influence on the rules and how this would proceed. So it really depends on who sets the rules, who sets the tone of the debate at that particular point, and that's the person who's in the majority. So once again, Mitch McConnell had a lot more say on how the Senate trial would proceed last year. Chuck Schumer will have more say this year. But let's be clear about this. This will not be a long and extended trial because this is about one incident and the president arguably inciting insurrection against the government of the United States. And that's pretty much it. And they will be going over what the president's words were, what his intent were, what the results of his speech was on that a week ago. When everyone stormed the Capitol. And I think that's what they will be evaluating on the floor of the Senate. But you even look at the House debate on all of this. The Republicans weren't really defending Donald Trump. Many of them were simply saying, well, maybe his words were taken out of context. That was the best defense that many of them made. A lot of them simply said, this is dividing the country. There's no point in doing it at this point in time. Let's move on with things. But it wasn't as if they gave rousing defenses of Donald Trump for what happened last week.
And CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn, some of them even said that maybe they were voting against impeachment because they were afraid of additional violence and afraid of violence against themselves.
Yes, a number of Republicans have said that. They feel palpable threat that people might go after them if they choose to go against the president as a Republican. So there was some people who held that fear, but there were 10 Republicans who basically said, no, I'm not going to let anything hold me hostage to my convictions. And they were those 10 Republicans that ultimately voted with all of the Democrats to impeach President Trump. And my guess is that there were more than 10 who wanted to vote that way. But as you say, some of them feared for either their political or, very sadly, their personal lives in a situation like this. The fact that we've come to this is a very sad moment in our nation's history, that members of Congress would be afraid for their lives if they couldn't vote their conscience on a particular issue like this.
Well, new Congresswoman from the 1st District here in St. Louis, Cori Bush, has certainly been making her voice heard, and she was on the floor saying that it was important to impeach the white supremacist in chief that did get apparently some faint boos from some segments of those in the audience. But how do comments like that forward the situation? And are we going to be hearing more of that, do you think?
Well, look, it's not for me to say what's in the president's heart. And the president likes to call himself second only to Abraham Lincoln as a friend of black people among presidents. But there's also his history. And it's that history that Cori Bush draws upon for a statement like this. His company was sued for housing discrimination in New York. Many of your listeners may be familiar with the Central Park Five group, the group of five black teenagers that were convicted of murdering a white woman in Central Park. But they've been completely exonerated with the evidence, yet Donald Trump still sticks with his original opinion that these five people should be put to death. He called the people the white supremacists in Charlottesville, some of them very fine people. There were some of the people among his supporters last week who, you know, walked around with Confederate flags and anti-Semitic symbols, yet he called some of them special, not those particular individuals, but his supporters special. He's referred to African countries with a word I can't say on air, but he's preferred immigrants not from there, but from Norway. And then at this first presidential debate last fall, he didn't want to condemn the white supremacist Proud Boys. So there's ample evidence and incidents that might lead a Cori Bush to see it that way. But look, things get said about presidents all the time. Dial back sort of to 2009 at when Barack Obama gave his speech to Congress and somebody in the Republican caucus shouted out, breaking all decorum and protocol, you know, you're a liar. So in the long run, what her comment is more a sad statement about a country, our country, that such a description about a president, that he may be a white supremacist, can be held by such a large number of people, and that the president may continue to do and say things that reinforce that view. That's not a good space to be in a country that really has such a history of difficulty on race, the enslavement of people, Jim Crow, segregation, lynching, violence, voter suppression. So we need to move past this. And you just have to hope that those words are designed to help us move past this rather than to inflame the situation. And you have to hope that's the intent of what she did, even if it was met with boos and resistance among some of the Republicans in the chamber.
CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn, thank you so much for your time this morning. And that does it for TIAM. OT is next. It's 8:29.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.